everybody. Welcome to the official Game Stitch podcast. This is episode 634. I'm producer Gerald. And joining me today, welcome back, Mike.
Hello. Good to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's been a couple episodes, a couple weeks, couple months. So we'll catch up with you and see how you're doing. Ryan decided to quit the show. He just left and didn't tell nobody. So if you want to interview for a new co-host position, anybody out there, just send me a message. Ryan didn't tell me till Friday that he quit. So we have a seat open at Game Stitch headquarters. Just let me know. Email me or send me a message on Twitter, X, and we'll get you interviewed and see if you want to be a co-host for Ryan.
I thought I was supposed to get the job if he quit.
I mean, if you want to. I mean, there's no problem. I won't have to interview you.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a bunch of quitters around here in Game Stitch. Right. So this has been a couple of weeks since you've been on. So what you been up to in the gaming world wise? What you been playing? What you been doing?
Mainly Counter-Strike 2. That's kind of my game I like to go to now. Still not very good at it, but I've been playing it a long time. It's always fun. It's quick. A game to get into, and you know, I'm real familiar with it because I've been playing it for a really, really, really long time. And I've yet to try out the new Half-Life 2 update. There's a new Half-Life 2 update called Half-Life 2 RTX that's supposed to be really good. It's basically a remake of the original Half-Life 2. So I've got it in my Steam library. I just haven't tried it yet. Waiting to do that. Looks really good from what I've seen.
Yeah, Half-Life to RTX on Steam.
Yeah. Free. Didn't cost you anything.
Okay, I'm looking at a trailer right now.
Yeah, it's looks really good, and I think my computer can handle it.
Oh well, yeah, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, Half-Life really hasn't It's aged really well. It still looks good, even without the RTX. My opinion, I think Half-Life 2 still really looks good.
Yeah, they're showing it right now on the little trailer with the RTX on and off.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks, I mean, look at those reflections. It looks really good. You can tell a big difference.
The creatures look better with the RTX. I don't know, some of the other stuff looks, I think it looks better with the original.
Yeah.
Some of the background.
Right. Yeah. But like I said, you know, the original, there's really nothing wrong with the original. It holds up really well, I think.
They're showing the difference between like 300 and some frames per second. There's some wood.
Yeah, I think my computer can handle it. I mean, I have a 4090 in it, so I don't think I'll have any issues running this game.
You haven't played it since then?
So Half-Life is kind of in my queue. Anything Half-Life related, including the original expansions like Blue Shift and Opposing Forces. So I tend to play those games probably at least once a year. So they're in my rotation to play. Still love them. That's probably one of my top 10 games on the PC.
Is Half-Life?
Yeah, Half-Life, or any derivative of Half-Life. I like the Half-Life series.
I played the original Half-Life for a little while. Never got into it after that.
I don't know what attracts me to it, but it's a really good series. I just like the Half-Life world. Period. Gordon Freeman. So it's kind of my thing. Like BioShock too, and BioShock is kind of like a stepbrother to Half-Life. BioShock, System Shock 2. I like all those games.
I did play the BioShock, but I played that on console. So I play on console. I don't play on PC. And for you listeners, Mike does play on PC.
Yes, not exclusively. I do have consoles, and BioShock I actually did play on console. I believe on the Xbox 360, but if it's a game that I like, I will own it in multiple formats, just like any gamer probably does. So I have it on PC. I've got it on console. Really love those games.
Now, on Counter-Strike, are you playing with other people? You're playing teams? Are you on, you mic'd yes. up and talking? And
Yep. Play on teams. I'm not as good as most people that are playing on Counter-Strike 2, but I still have fun with it.
Yeah, but you're probably getting better.
Every once in a while I'll get into a match and I will, I'll dominate it, but it doesn't happen very often. Not as often as it should, as much as I've played it. Like I said, I've played it since, not continuously, but I started playing Counter-Strike. I believe it was in 2000, so 24 years ago. I believe that's when the beta came out, 99 or 2000. I think Half-Life came out in 1998, and it was originally a modification from Half-Life.
So you don't play like Call of Duty and Battlefield?
I have played them, but I've only played them on console. I haven't played them on PC.
Do you remember SOCOM?
I do. I've never played it. I do remember it, though.
Yeah, we just talked about a couple weeks ago that there's a rumor that SOCOM's coming back. And that was a big thing back in the day. It was like one of the first games that came with a headset to play with other people with the four.
Yeah, was it on the PS2? Is that where it originally came from? Okay.
Yep.
I do remember that.
So a lot of fans are like hoping that when they do bring it, if they do bring it back, they do like a little headset commemorative for that one. Because that game came with a headset.
That's cool. That is cool. I never played my PS2 online, but I know a lot of people that did. And I thought that SOCOM was originally on the PS2. I could be wrong, but that's what I remember.
Yeah, so with me, I haven't really played much this week. I platinumed two games over the last couple weeks and played one game twice. But I played the PlayStation 4 version and the PlayStation 5 version of the game.
Which game?
You're going to make me forget. forgot already.
Which game, Gerald? Come on. Hold on. Which game?
I'm looking
it up. Are you Googling it?
No, I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up right now. Games.
Must have been a really good game.
So I played the Stanley Parable Paradox. I went through that one.
Yeah, Stanley Parable Paradox.
Yeah, it's a walking sim. It's a creepy weird game because it walks you through things that you're playing as you're playing. It's just talking to you.
Interesting.
Road 96. I played the PlayStation 4 version. Beat that. Another type of walking sim. It's about teenagers that are leaving the country, and your idea is you're hitchhiking from one point all the way up to the border, and you're trying to get across the border, and every little thing you decide to do changes the story out.
So what is a walking sim?
Basically you walk around and you tells you to interact, press X to have this conversation or press X to pick this up and have it in your stash. And you're basically just walking around. You're not really shooting. You're not grabbing. You're not jumping. You're just walking and interacting with the environment.
Okay.
And then with the walking sims, if you miss stuff, it in this one, the Road 96, it will change the outcome of your ending. So like on the PlayStation 4, I got one ending. On the PlayStation 5, I got another ending.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool just to see the different version of the endings. And as I play through, I'm playing through the same game, but I'm not really playing because the choices I'm making are changing things in the game. And you have to, you start like in beginning of May, and you have to work your way through all the way to September, where in this big, huge event, and that's when the game ends. So you're trying to get many teenagers over. You're playing many teenagers and trying to get them over the border as fast as possible.
Is it multiplayer or is it just single player?
It's just a single player.
I see.
And as you get one, either the teenager dies because of a decision you make, or you get them across the border, or they get arrested. And if you get them across the border, you choose another sim. And the idea is the one trophy is to get six teenagers across the border.
Okay.
It was fun. I did play this game called Honey Farm Simulator that Ryan was talking about, that I accidentally downloaded it when we were talking about on here. It's one of those free, not really free. It was like 49 cents. You know, it's an easy platinum. You throw the game in, you play for 10 minutes, and all of a sudden you get a platinum. It's one of those games. I had it in my bucket, and then I started like downloading all these free because the month changed from March to April. And PlayStation always has like a free stuff for your games you play. So I was adding all these stuff into my cart, and I didn't realize I had the Honey Farm Simulator in my cart because I had so much. It was all the way at the bottom. I just bought it, and I was saying, and it was like 54 cents is being charged here. And I'm like, what, 54 cents? What did I buy? Everything was just downloaded stuff. I go through my cart, and I saw I bought Honey Farm Simulator. I said, you know what? Forget it. I was just going to play it and play for 10 minutes to get a free platinum out of that. Yeah. It is a horrible game.
So get a free platinum. What is that? Tell me.
Okay,
what
so is. You know, remember on the Xbox they have achievements.
Yes.
So PlayStation versions trophies, and you get a platinum trophy when you get everything on there.
So I only have a PlayStation. The latest PlayStation I have is a PlayStation 3. I'm more of an Xbox person, so that's kind of what I've always bought. So I wasn't sure. I've heard of trophies, but I didn't know what platinum was.
Yeah, the platinum trophy is when you do everything on the trophy list to get it.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the Road 96.
Okay.
So it looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're here, you're talking to this character, and as you're talking, you make decisions.
Okay.
You can play like you play Connect Four. There's an option to play Connect Four or not play Connect Four. And there's like two decisions right there you can decide, and that will determine the outcome of the game as you're going through.
I see. How long do these games typically last?
I played both of them maybe 10 hours each.
Okay.
Maybe. Then let's see, Honey Farm. I'm gonna show you this horrible game. It does not. Ryan got mad at the. So this is what the like. If you go on Steam, you try to buy it. It looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
The game looks like this, but when you actually,
so it looks like there's a woman with a bunch of beehives.
Beekeep. You think it looks this good, but it doesn't. It looks like this.
Okay. So is this kind of like, I don't remember what the first farm simulator was called, but it was real popular on iPhone. I don't know if it was the first, but it was the one that everybody always played. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Farm
Simulator. There's a Farm Simulator. And then there was Stardew Valley.
Maybe it was Stardew Valley. I don't remember, but there was one that everybody played. Usually on a phone, some type of mobile device. And it was really popular. I remember Stardew Valley, but I don't think that was the name of the game that I'm thinking of.
My Dream Sim, Farm Day Simulator. But that game, so we were talking about how the AI is really getting crazy because you're seeing this. You're okay, this is probably going to be looking a pretty good game. You buy it, and then it looks like that.
You know, that really doesn't look bad. It looks kind of like in Stardew Valley or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe an amped up Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley has more of that 16-bit type look.
Yeah.
This looks like just a smoother version of Stardew Valley.
That's your Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so is the easy sim. You just play and you just press X, move your character back and forth, and you platinum the game.
So I've tried those games, but they've never caught on to me. I have Stardew Valley on some device. I don't remember which one. It may be my Switch, but I can't get into them.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks ago or months ago. The maker of Stardew Valley said he's going to keep dating Stardew Valley, he's going to keep it going, just like Minecraft. Wow. I mean, Minecraft.
Yeah, Minecraft is another one. I mean, they seem to be very addicting games, but they've never appealed to me.
Oh yeah, I have. It says on my PlayStation that I have 1,800 hours on Minecraft. But I've also played it on PC and I played it on my Switch, and no telling really how much I played.
Hmm.
With the new movie coming out, they dropped a whole new DLC for Minecraft.
Isn't it already out? In the Minecraft movie already out?
Yeah, it came out. Because of that, they added stuff where you play the character as the characters from.
Okay.
The movie. These guys, you get their costumes.
I see.
Right. So let's get to know Mike a little bit. All right. So I got some questions for you.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep this up. So if we want to pull something up, I'll be able to pull it up and we can talk about it. All right. So what got you into gaming originally as a kid? Do you remember?
Yeah. Arcade games. I'm going to show my age here, but arcade games like Space Invaders, there was an Atari football game that was really popular back in the late 70s. It used a trackball that would pinch your thumb if you weren't careful. Mm. And it was the game field was basically X's and O's. Depending on if you were the offense or defense, you would be an X or an O, and you would use that trackball to move one of your players around on the screen. And it was a flat screen. It was kind of like a cocktail cabinet. And people would stand above it and they would use that trackball to move their person around. Yeah, that's it right there. Yeah, Atari football. That's it. That trackball would eat your fingers up. It would pinch the crap out of your fingers if you weren't careful. But that game, Space Invaders, Pac-Man, the golden age of arcades is what got me into gaming. And then, of course, which led to an Atari 2600 for Christmas one year.
So was it a spot like the mall where it had the arcade, or was it like a pizza?
So
Mr. Getty's Pizza someplace?
No, it wasn't Mr. Cause we didn't have we did have Mr. Getty's. The places that I remember those games mm-hmm. would be in either a department store or in the mall in a department store like Sears. Sears, at one time had a little room that had a few arcade games in it, believe it or not. And they were in there usually.
Yeah, I don't remember the Sears, but that was probably right before I came to the United States.
Yeah, this was like late 70s, early 80s.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah,
and I was probably 6 or 7 years old.
Can you remember the game that made you, like, what was that game that was like, oh, this is my jam, this is it, made you fall in love with gaming?
Probably Space Invaders. I don't have I can't think of an exact moment in time, mm-hmm. Which is unusual for me because I'm pretty nostalgic for things like that. And it was a conglomeration of many different games that really got me into it. It wasn't a single game, but probably Space Invaders is the first one that I remember really getting into. I was so young that it was hard for me even to place my hands on the controls because they were above me and I was looking up at the screen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would do the best I could to play those types of games.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I'm going to say probably Space Invaders, not Galaga. Galaga is a good one, but there was one before it called Galaxian, that was made by Namco. And it was a lesser version of Galaga, if you will. It was a good game, but it just wasn't quite as good as Galaga, but it was a good game. That was another one. Jungle Hunt was another one of my favorites. Tempest was a fun game. Tron was also
a really good game. Yeah.
And the movie was excellent. Excellent movie.
Did you see the remake or the part two?
Yeah, I did. Didn't really like it as much, and I have it on Blu-ray, but
Did you see the trailer for the new one? They just dropped the trailer.
Friday. Oh, no, I'm not familiar with a brand new one. I didn't know there was a brand new one.
Yeah, there's a new one. It's Tron Ares, I think.
Yeah. So I'm not real big on when they re-release movies like that, kind of like how they did with Clash of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like the first one because, like I said, I'm a nostalgic person and I saw the second one. I generally try not to see remakes because sometimes they're usually not that good.
So,
this one I did.
So this is going to be a part three. So it's going to continue on because you hear Jeff in the trailer, you hear Jeff Bridges' voice.
Oh, do you? Wow.
Yeah. So he's going to be in part three. And it looks like the way the trailer is, they're coming, they come out of the computer and they're riding around. They, in the beginning, it shows the motorcycle come right through a cop car.
Yeah, I see it. The light bike. It kind of still looks like the light bikes in the original, too.
Yeah, just
kind of built the same way.
Yeah, so it looks pretty good. With me, the game for me was Defender.
Yes, Defender was another one. That was a hard game, but that
was another one. I loved Defender. I wasn't good at it, but I loved trying to.
Yeah, that Defender, I mean, you had the reverse button by your thumb that you had to hit when you wanted to, you know, generally on you would just reverse with a joystick direction. Mm-hmm. But you had a button that you had to hit. You had the hyperspace button. It the button layout, I mean, it was kind of a complicated game for its time. Do you remember the second part of Defender, what Defender 2 was, what the name of it was?
Not off. I'm looking at Defender 2, but.
Stargate.
Stargate, okay.
Stargate was the next one.
I'm looking it up as we, here it is, Stargate.
Yep, Stargate was second part of Defender.
Hmm. Yeah, Defender, Stargate, look at that.
And I remember that you, if there wasn't a quarter in the game, there was a, there was something, I can't remember if it was on Defender or Stargate, but you could walk up to the game and hit the reverse button and it would show you hints to the game.
Mm.
And I don't remember if that was the original Defender or if that was the Stargate game. But, I know you could hit the, just go up, no quarter in it, just hit the reverse button and it would, tell you some secrets or hints to the game on the screen.
Now, do you own any of these old games at all?
No, I don't have any of the originals. I have some arcade one-ups. Okay. But the originals, they're just so big, bulky, and heavy. Go ahead.
Because, you know, like Xbox or PlayStation, they'll do the, they'll have a disc where you have the old, you could play the old arcade games, like maybe 16 games or something on there.
Yeah, no, I have the compilation disc. I have some PlayStation 2 compilation discs that have a lot of these old games on them. But as far as the game itself, I just have some arcade one-ups. I don't have the original arcade-type games.
Yeah, Namco. That was it. Namco Museum type stuff.
Yeah, and Midway Arcade Treasures. I've got 1, 2, and 3 of that.
Oh, 1942 or is it 43? Those were games also.
Yeah, that's a really Capcom game.
Yeah. I really 42. Like those.
Yeah. Yeah, those were fun games. All those games are fun. Taito Legends. I've got that one over on the right-hand side of your screen. I've got that one. That's got, of course, it has Space Invaders on it.
Mm. All right, next question for you.
Okay.
What was the first game that you can remember that you grinded on? Like you really like put hours in?
EverQuest. Yeah, EverQuest was one of the original MMOs. I believe it came out in 1999-ish. And that was a game that really pulled you into that type of genre. That's kind of my favorite genre as far as games goes, is fantasy. Favorite book genre also. Even though I'm a Counter-Strike 2 player, I still like
right.
Fantasy games.
I mean, people.
Go ahead.
Can you go back and play? Like, you be okay playing this?
It has gone through so many transgressions. I probably wouldn't know how to play it as well anymore. It's still up and running. I know they come out with different server types that take you back to the classic game, mm-hmm. but the interface I think has changed a whole lot since the time that I was playing. So I'm not so sure that I would be able to, and they've changed a lot of things around with that game. It's a game that's very difficult to solo in. You have to have a group with you, generally, for most things anyway.
Now you are not one that's big on graphics, so you could go back and play this style of game and not bother you.
Oh yeah, easily. Yeah, I'm more of gameplay. I love doing Commodore 64 stuff. I've got Commodore 64 emulator on my computer, and I'll go back and I play Actually, I'm actually playing the original Ultima game right now on my emulator. The graphics don't bother me. It's just the gameplay that I like.
Nice. Okay. You just answered that one. I have a, my little list. It was about genre. Okay. Well, are there any games or franchises that you would consider a comfort game that you always return to? What's your comfort game? Or
The Half-Life series.
Half-Life.
Yeah, anything in the Half-Life series.
Okay.
It's definitely my go-to.
Do you prefer single player or multiplayer?
I prefer single player, but I do like multiplayer also. But if I had to choose and there were no other options, it's mm-hmm. probably going to be single player. But I'm just as happy with multiplayer also. And I don't really care about all the... That's one thing I don't like about Counter-Strike is all the people speaking in the lobby and in the game, and some of it can really get, you know, it's okay to goad people on, you know, if you're kind of dominating or something in jest, mm-hmm. if you do it to annoy people or you start making derogatory remarks or political remarks, anything like that, then I'll just mute you. I don't like listening to that stuff, but it's fun to just if you take it in jest and you're goading somebody, that's one thing. But when you start getting dirty and nasty, I don't really care about that.
Which I'm surprised that Counter-Strike would even dear to my Counter-Strike, does it have like a toxic community every now and then? Like there's one player.
Yeah. There's usually one or two. Usually just about probably about 80% of the games. There's one or two that's very toxic, but it's easy to mute the person. Just, you know, click on them and mute.
You don't report. You're not one of those ones that report.
Generally not. It does have a voting system where you can vote people off, but it doesn't. It takes a majority and it doesn't work really well all the time. Okay. But the only time anybody gets voted off is when they're obviously cheating or right. using some type of aimbot or, mm-hmm. or wall hack or something. And it's obvious that they're doing it.
All right. What's your favorite platform? PC, console, mobile, handheld?
PC.
PC.
Yeah. PC by far.
Handheld. You don't have many handhelds, right? If I remember. We were like a bunch of Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Pocket.
Well, yeah, I actually do have all those that you just named. I just don't play them very often.
Okay.
You know, I'm pretty sure I'm like everybody else. He likes to buy the latest thing.
All right, this will probably be a repeat question somewhat. What game is the one you spent the most time in? Up your head.
It's going to be a toss-up between one of the Half-Life games or World of Warcraft. Because I did spend a lot of time in World of Warcraft. I spent a lot of time in EverQuest. So it's going to be one of those three, EverQuest, Half-Life series, or World of Warcraft.
All right. What about gaming tournaments? Have you ever participated in a gaming tournament? Like as a kid, you went to like a Pac-Man?
Yeah, no, I've never done anything like that before.
Yeah, I've done Street Fighter, Tecmo Bowl, Mortal Kombat.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I take that back. When you said Street Fighter, I sure did. It was me, and this is a long time ago. This is back when Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition just came out in the arcades. And he and I were so good in Street Fighter that we could just literally take one or two quarters of the arcade and wouldn't have to worry about using any more money because we would get, once we got on that Street Fighter arcade game, mm-hmm. we would dominate it. There was usually two or three arcade games there and we'd each get on one and people would come up and they'd challenge us. And of course we would just wipe them. And we did enter a tournament. He was a little bit better than me. So I had a feeling that I was going to have a hard time beating him in the last round. Cause there was probably 20 of us in that tournament. And I knew it was going to boil down to him or I, cause I knew that we were better players than everybody there. And that's what it boiled down to. And he ended up beating me. So I ended up getting second place in that tournament. And, which I knew he was going to probably beat me, because like I said, he was a little bit better player than me. But, but that's the only time I've ever been in any type of video game tournament. And that was probably in 1994-ish, three-ish. It's not 1994. It had to be like 92.
Yeah, it was earlier 91. Than
that. Yeah, because it's whenever Championship Edition came out in the arcades.
Who's your go-to guy? Do you remember?
Chun-Li and Blanca.
Yeah, Blanca was mine.
Yeah. Chun-Li and Blanca.
Yeah, I would never get – and the little tournaments I did – I think I would get past the first round, and second round I would just lose. Because people knew all like the secret codes and do certain things. Like one guy was able to use, like I fought Blanca, and he would go out of the screen and come from the opposite side and hit you. And
yeah.
I'm like, what the heck? So, you know, just constantly doing the little ball thing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, it was easier to do the ball in Street Fighter II Champion Edition than it was Street Fighter II. You could basically do the ball from in Street Fighter 2. It was a little bit easier if you were backing up to do the ball, but in Street Fighter Championship Edition, you could do it from a kneeling position pretty easily. You know, this is a time before the internet. So the only thing that you had to go on as far as getting all the moves and things like that was, you know, word of mouth and just figuring them out. And maybe somebody may have written a book or something that you just would have to look at to figure out what all the special moves were.
I remember a kid in school, he had like a little book written down. He was writing down all the, he would borrow people's Nintendo Power books and he'd write all these little codes down and he would go home and try them. And
I still remember walking into the arcade, seeing me and the same guy that I was just telling you about that was a little bit better made. The first time we saw Street Fighter II was in our hometown arcade, and we were blown away by it. And we were watching one guy that knew the Dragon Punch move, but it looked like he was getting it more by luck. So we were trying to watch, you know, what he was doing with a joystick move to figure it out. And we ended up figuring it out, and we got really good with it. Now there were some players that I just could not play. Like Dalsum was one. I know he was a powerful character, but I just couldn't play him. I couldn't figure out his special thing, so I kind of grew attached to Blanca and Chun-Li. Those were two of my favorites.
Yeah, I couldn't get Guile. I couldn't do
I tell you what, somebody Tank knew Eve. What they were doing with Guile. They would man, that little backflip from that kneel, that somersault kick he would do. Holy cow.
Zangief was horrible. I couldn't, for me, I couldn't use Sagat or the guy with the Wolverine claws.
Vega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. What's your proudest gaming achievement? Like, have you beat a game that was like super, super hard, or?
I can't.
You get ranked really high in like some online thing or.
So Half-Life 2, or I'm sorry, Half-Life is, it's an easy game up until, in my opinion, it's an easy game up until a certain point. And that is when you get into the alien planet Zen. It becomes, strictly my opinion, you know, your mileage may vary, but when you get to Zen, it becomes a harder game. I was kind of happy when I finished that. You're going to notice that a lot of my conversation revolves back to Half-Life because it is my favorite video game series. But, other than that, I can't think of anything where I was anything proud of or anything. So,
well, you didn't beat a hard game, a super hard game or anything like that.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. And now from gaming where you did play online, with like World of Warcraft and stuff like that, have you made any like friends on there that you still keep in touch with from way back in the day?
Other than people that I knew prior to playing those games? No, I've never really made any online friendships or anything.
Yeah, I have about three, I would say, I'd still communicate regularly with from that.
Well, that's cool. That's cool that you got that. Cause I've never, now I have played in guilds before and with specific groups of people that we tended to play together regularly, but mm-hmm. other than, you know, in game, it never developed into any, offline friendship or anything.
Okay. Here's a weird one for you. with Twitter, I mean, with YouTube and Twitch and Steam and other gaming platforms where you can show, do you think that has changed gaming? Like the actual games coming out? Like,
yeah, I think Steam definitely has. I remember specifically when Steam first came out, because Counter-Strike was at version 1.5, and that was the last version that you could play of Counter-Strike that used what's called the World Opponent Network. The World Opponent Network was what Sierra used to matchmake their players in games like Counter-Strike. There were a lot of matchmaking systems like that. Mm-hmm. Microsoft had their own, and they weren't always exclusive to their brand games. Sometimes it was games that, you know, they didn't make, but I remember Microsoft had their own, the World Opponent Network had their own. But when Steam came out, there was a lot of resistance to Steam. I remember people playing Counter-Strike didn't want to go to Steam, but in order to play Counter-Strike 1.6, which was the next version, you had to go to Steam. And I remember there being a lot of resistance because it seems like Steam didn't work very well at first, but I think Steam has universalized all of those matchmaking systems. I mean, because it's kind of the go-to that everybody mm-hmm. goes to when they want to buy a game. I know there are other platforms out there that have this, but it seems like Steam is kind of the monster of them all.
Yeah,
I think it definitely changed the landscape. It changed the way that you acquire games. It's so easy. It made it made indie developers to be able to get noticed a lot better. So Steam definitely changed the landscape.
Okay, what about like YouTubers and Twitch players? Any thoughts on?
Yeah, YouTubers. There are certain channels that I follow that I do like watching, and streamers. Twitch streamers, I'm more into the retro streamers. I like watching the people playing the retro games.
Okay. All right. Here's another weird one for you. I know you played a lot of games, but so this is going to be kind of funny to see from you. You play different games than I play or like Ryan plays.
Yeah.
If you could live in the world of any game, what game would it be?
Ooh. Golly, probably Baldur's Gate.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not.
I'm talking about the answer. I haven't.
Oh, yeah. Probably Baldur's Gate. Yeah, Gate. Probably Baldur's Gate. Yeah.
You would live in that world?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely would.
I said Star Trek Online.
Star Trek Online?
Star Trek Holodecks, free food.
I get it, but probably Baldur's Gate for me.
Okay, do you have a favorite game character, like a person, like people like Master Chief or like Ezio from Assassin's Creed or
Gordon Freeman? You'll have to Google him to figure out who it is. But when you see him, you'll be like, yeah, I can see why you like him.
Oh, Half-Life, yeah.
Yeah.
It's your favorite. Okay.
Yeah.
Good one.
Gordon Freeman.
Okay. Is there a video game franchise that you've never played that you wanted to, but just didn't?
Oh, that's another good one. I'm looking through my Steam library now.
Like you played Halo. You played Last of
Us. Yeah, played Halo.
GTA. You ever play Assassin's Creed?
No, yeah. I remember playing Assassin's Creed since the beginning on my Xbox 360. Okay. I can't think of one that something that I've wanted to get into, but I haven't because I have played so much stuff. And I really can't think of any that that I would want to get into that I haven't. I mean, I'm looking through my Steam library now, and I do have a pretty big backlog of stuff, but I mean, it's stuff that I have played some derivative of, so I can't think of any.
Yeah, same. Like, if you'd asked me the same question, I would like, I don't know, because I pretty much play every.
Yeah.
Or I've tried it and just, okay, this is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have tried. That's probably a better word than play, because I have tried a lot of things, not played a lot of things, because I kind of stick to the things that I really like when I want to play something. So I have tried just about everything.
With me, I've tried World of Warcraft. I just don't like it.
Oh, I don't know if I could get back into it because it's such a time sink.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it was just so fun. It just felt like, you know, it was an escapism for me, and it just felt like you were part of that world. And, you know, it was just, it was same with EverQuest. EverQuest was the same way. So EverQuest was more of a, in my opinion, was more of a niche thing. Not as many people played EverQuest. World of Warcraft kind of brought it to the limelight. Brought MMOs to the limelight, in my opinion, and a lot more people played World of Warcraft. And World of Warcraft was a much easier game to play than EverQuest was. EverQuest, I liked it because it was harder. It was a harder game to play, and it was hard to solo a lot of things. Like in World of War, in WoW, you could solo a lot of things. There was a lot of characters built for soloing, but in EverQuest, most of the classes were built to be part of a party.
Did you ever play Fallout?
I have dabbled in it,
okay.
But I know that you're really into it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that's something that I will eventually play, but I have dabbled into it. I have tried it, but I haven't sat down and actually played it yet.
Okay. Next question. What are your thoughts on remakes and remasters of classic games?
Depends on how good they are, actually. Like this Half-Life RTX, this Half-Life mm-hmm. 2 RTX, I think it's great. And I'll tell you what, there's another good one. It's crazy because all my conversation goes back to Half-Life. That just shows you how much I love this series. there's another Half-Life, there's several Half-Life remakes. And one is called, what is it? Black Mesa. Black Mesa is a Half-Life remake that's really good. If you like the original Half-Life, Black Mesa is really excellent. It's an excellent version of Half-Life. But I still like the original. The graphics don't look nowhere as good as mm-hmm. Black Mesa, but I really like the original Half-Life.
Okay. Next one. If you can only play one game for the rest of your life, and only one, Half-Life.
Probably so. It probably had to be some type of Half-Life game. I would hope I'm never in that position, but.
Okay, here we go. Now we're going to do a really quick fire one. Quick answers. House on Fire, you can only save one gaming item.
Oh, golly. One gaming item.
One gaming item.
If I could carry it, probably my PC, but I don't think I'd be able to carry it out.
just grab the hard drive and go.
Well, no, I tell you what I would grab would be the video card, as expensive as they are.
right. It's more than a whole PC.
Yeah, they're crazy ass expensive.
Mm-hmm. A coworker was talking about buying the newest video card.
Oh,
I'm like, dude, yeah, you just spent $10,000 on your stuff.
Yeah, it's really expensive. he's got to be talking about the 5090.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's hard to get, and it's like right around $3,000 to buy that video card.
All right, so when you play video games, how are you sitting, and what are you sitting on?
I'm sitting in a Secret Lab Titan Evo chair.
Sure.
And yeah, I'm sitting at a computer desk. Now, if it's console game, obviously I'm going to be on a couch. But if I'm playing my PC, it's going to be in a Secret Lab chair.
Okay. Yeah. So you sit on a couch, not a like a lazy boy or recliner or
it's floor? A couch. No, I can't sit on the floor.
Okay.
Do you I'll game have in a hard bed? Time getting up.
You game in bed?
Yes. Yeah. If I'm handheld or on my laptop. So if I do it in bed, it'll be on the Switch.
What is your eating and drinking gaming choice? Like, what do you, when you're playing games, what are you eating and drinking?
If I'm eating, it's probably going to be something like almonds or some type of nut, and mm-hmm. drinking it's almost always water in a water bottle.
Okay. Headset or TV speakers when you're playing console?
Console, it's going to be a soundbar.
Soundbar.
Yeah.
PC, headset.
Well, it depends. If it's a game where I have to listen for footsteps, like Counter-Strike 2, it's going to be a headset.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if it's a game like Team Fortress Classic or Team Fortress 2 where I don't have to listen for footsteps, then it's going to be the speakers on the, I prefer not to wear a headset. I don't like wearing headsets.
Yeah, me neither. I don't like the thing on my head.
Yeah. Like I don't need it. And Counter-Strike 2, if you want to be somewhat competitive, you have to listen for footsteps. And, I mean, that identifies where somebody's at, but, so you got to have a headset for that. It's very difficult to hear the foot. Because it's hard to tell where they're coming from if you're listening through desktop speakers. But in a headset, you can tell where the footsteps are coming from.
Okay, you said your favorite game today would be Half-Life, you would say?
The series in general.
Okay.
As
a kid, what was it? Go back to see little Mike.
Like how old?
elementary age.
Elementary age. So that would put me in the Atari 2600 era. So... I had a lot of Atari 2600 games also. Oh, I had a ColecoVision also. Okay. So, probably my ColecoVision system. I played Donkey Kong on it all the time. Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr.
Okay. All right. Are you big on soundtracks of games? Do you care about the sounds and
don't music? Really care. There are games that I really liked, especially on the Super Nintendo. When the Super Nintendo first came out, some of their soundtracks were amazing, especially the Final Fantasy soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy II and ActRaiser had really good soundtracks. It's nothing that I would listen to if I wasn't playing the game, but if I'm playing the game, I like hearing them. Turrican, Super Turrican on the Super Nintendo was another one that had a really good soundtrack. I just like hearing them.
Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't. I know soundtracks are kind of a big thing nowadays, especially with vinyl. Mm-hmm. I'm probably one that wouldn't buy the soundtrack to it.
Okay. Is there a game that you never completed that you wish you can go back to because the boss was too hard?
I don't think that I ever completed Final Fantasy II, and I can't remember the boss's name in Final Fantasy II. I think it was Bahamut or something like that. Google it real quick. Final Fantasy, you know, it might be hard to do that because Final Fantasy II in America was Final Fantasy IV in Japan. I think it was Bahamut was the boss in Final Fantasy II. Emperor or Final Fantasy. Yeah, see. Final Fantasy 2. I don't know. I can't remember. I don't believe I ever completed that game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you developed any bad habits from gaming?
No. I'm not somebody that will... forget about chores and things like that around the house and just game all day. I take care of everything at the house also.
Okay.
So I don't think that I have developed any habits that would cause me to, you know, for just to, and don't get me wrong, I've played really long game sessions, but I've always been one to make sure everything's taken care of.
Yeah. Because some people get developed like a monster, like a sugar Or they start eating Takis or something because that's they need something to snack on, or I only eat Hot Pockets because it's something quick.
Oh, no. I like cooking too much to just eat Hot Pockets.
All right, the last question for you and our listeners, what's the last piece of gaming tech that you've bought? The very last thing. If it was yesterday or Friday.
The last piece of gaming tech that I bought.
It could be a game, anything gaming related.
Does it have to be something new or can it be something retro?
Not just what, the last thing you purchase. If we look on your debit card or.
You were with me with the last. Oh, okay. Are we talking about a game here?
No, anything, or
are we
anything gaming related. It could be a t-shirt, a hat, something for your PC, a game, just something physical.
Probably. Something physical.
Yes. You can download games all day long, like fighting game, but something physical.
Yeah, so not a downloaded game.
Yeah, where you had to go out and you had to purchase or you order from Amazon or something.
Okay. Okay, then you were with me when I bought it.
Oh, yeah, that was months ago. You haven't bought nothing gaming-wise? No, none of your retro stuff behind you? Or
I don't think I have, because a lot of the stuff behind me is stuff that I've had. Well, what I bought is behind me also. It's right above my head. I can see it. Can you see it?
It's right in the middle of that the green outline of the goals.
Right
there. Yeah.
Yeah, that Mattel football game.
Now, this is another question just for me. And we probably talked about this before when we talked to each other way back in the day. I see you got a lot of stuff behind you that's like in cases. Are you... Uh-huh. Do you take them out of the cases and use them, or are you a collector where you not touch knees, you're staying in the case?
No. They will stay sealed until I play them, but I don't keep them sealed intentionally. It just, if something is sealed, it just means I haven't played it yet. I will definitely break the seal. I won't think anything. I'm not a sealed game collector at all.
I was going to say, do you have something that's sealed that you will refuse to open?
No, I do not.
All right.
No, so, if I buy a game, I'm playing it.
So we were talking about Atari earlier. I pulled up the Atari website. Are you mm-hmm. aware of them doing stuff?
Oh yeah.
Like the watch and the games and
See, nostalgia is kind of a big thing, and it's an easy way to cash in on something, in my opinion. And I'm a nostalgic person, but I'm very picky about things that I buy that are nostalgia related. A lot of this stuff is what I just would consider, you know, something I wouldn't really buy.
Yeah. We and Ryan will go through and we'll find a website like this or just something, and we'll see the things that they're pulling out. So, okay, that's pretty cool. They're doing this or doing
they're now doing that. That one that scroll back down again, that visual compendium, that Atari 2600 visual compendium. I think that's a bitmap book, and those bitmap books are, I don't have one, but eventually I'm going to order one. Is it a bitmap book? Go where it says read more right there. Yeah. See, Bitmap books. Bitmap books makes a lot of pretty cool looking books that are like that. I haven't bought one yet. I don't know which one I'd want. I would probably want the Commodore 64 book, because the Commodore 64 was my first computer. And that's where I really, really, really got into some serious gaming, was the first PC game, or not PC, the first computer game, 8-bit computer game. I really got into it. So.
All right, we're going to go over some news real quick, but the only news we're going to talk about is the Nintendo Switch 2 has been announced, released, date, pricing. Right now they're saying the price is going to be $449.99 for the basic version. There's going to be a Mario version for $499. What are your thoughts on the price?
I knew it was going to be more expensive because they generally always are. I didn't expect it to be over $400, though. I was thinking probably $399.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But so that was kind of surprising. Surprising, but not surprising that it is a little bit more expensive than that. But, you know, I'm still going to buy it. So, you know,
are you going to wait for?
I won't buy from... If I could get it day one, yes, but I won't buy from a scalper.
Okay, they're doing something to stop scalpers from buying it. Like, if you pre-order it, you have to pre-order showing that you have the Nintendo Online membership and all this other stuff. Yeah, we're going to try to stop scalpers from buying this.
That would be nice. That's what kept me from getting an Xbox Series X for a long time.
Now they did announce the more in details about the game chat, which is actually really, really good on the video. They show the, which I'm going to see if I can get to the game chat part.
It looks really cool. I don't know if it was something, it would be a feature that I would use, but it looked pretty neat.
Where they showed, come on. Yeah. So here they show like you playing and then your other people, the other three people you're playing with, their screen, what they're actually doing at the same time, which I think is pretty cool. Yeah. So you could see their actual game, their gameplay. And then
I can't believe you, it seems like you'd have to have a lot of bandwidth to be able to see what they're doing at the same time also.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another video they show where in the game chat, you can actually show your face and in the corners, you'll see the person's face in the corner of that same screen.
Wow.
And there's going to be a camera that you can get with it, to do the chatting.
Yeah, it looks, looks pretty neat. The biggest thing that I was concerned with was the backwards compatibility.
Yeah, backwards compatibility. Looks like it'll play pretty much all the Switch 1 games slides in the same dock. Mm-hmm. The speaker's right next to it. They do have a charge port on top, which a lot of people are happy about because, you know, you can charge it from the top or the bottom.
Sure. Yeah, I like how those the Joy-Cons, I like how they attach to it.
Better with the magnets.
Yeah, with the mag instead of trying to slide them into the rails.
They did respond to the stick drift, saying that they really worked intensively hard to make sure there's no stick drift on the new Joy-Con controller.
Hmm. It'll be interesting to see if that happens. To be totally honest, I never had a stick drift. I'm sitting here looking at my original Switch that I've had for a really long time, and I never had stick drift on any of them.
Because you have that one, and then you got the OLED, right? Also, as well,
yes.
The original and the OLED.
Yeah. Got the original and the OLED. And I probably bought the original maybe a month or two after it came out, so I've had it quite a while.
Yeah, I think the OLED, I think they fixed the stick drift by the time the OLED came out. But mine, I had to send back. I think Ryan had to send his back also. And some of the people that you talked to, let's see, the stick drift, let's see. Snapping in there. Let's see, new adjustable stand. It's going to be a little more powerful. They're saying the battery life is going to be between 2 and 6.5 hours, which they're complaining about the hour, how long it's going to stay. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Do the battery. I did not do that. But here it is. Yeah, 2 to 6.5 hours.
Wow.
I guess it's because you're playing a bigger title, like more power.
Mm-hmm.
They showed the Joy-Con controllers being used on your leg. So for the mouse, using it as a mouse, you can grab them and on your leg, you can push it for the mouse. They're showing like the video where it looks like the guy was wheeling him as a.
Oh, the wheelchair game?
Yeah, the wheelchair game.
Yeah. The wheelchair basket. That looked really cool. It'll be interesting to see how they develop that and what are the things that they come up with. As far as using that feature, that mouse feature,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if they'll somehow integrate it into like a FPS game or something.
That would be cool to see that you could do on there.
Right.
The internal storage is going up, 256 gigs, which is 4 times the amount of the previous. So you'll be able to get at least 8 games on there. It does do SD cards, but it does not use the same one from the original Switch. You have to use buy the newer Switch 2 version of it. The new dock has a new design. It's more rounded on the dock to match up. There's a fan built inside the dock to help keep it cool, which I thought was pretty good that they added that.
Mm-hmm. And it does 4K now too, right?
Yes, it docked.
Docked, okay.
Yeah, it will not do 4K out of the dock.
So I assume it does 1080p if it's on the display? Is that what it is?
Let's see. Oh, you can share games. So like if you bought a game and you want us to play the game, you can share it with me, two other people. We don't have to purchase the game. We could play with you.
So I assume that's probably just going to be on within a network and not like across the internet.
No, it'll be across the internet. So they show them playing at everyone's different house.
Oh, really? Wow, yeah. That's interesting. Because, you know, I had a friend that we both had Nintendo DS Lites, and we could do that with certain games, like Mario Kart. I could share that game. He could have it, or I could have it, the physical game, and you could basically spawn that person to have their own version of Mario Kart 2. Now, you're limited on the amount of tracks and things like that, but basically, they were playing Mario Kart with you if y'all were within the same room. You had to be on the same network.
Yeah, so this is what they're talking about here. And here's the thing. So you could play, they're showing the Switch 2 console with the game, and then they're showing the Switch 1 console without the game. And then they're showing the Lite. So you can have up to three different consoles, even the originals, playing that same game.
Wow,
so you will have to have signed on for the Nintendo the yearly subscription, the Nintendo Online.
I see.
You have to have that to be able to play.
Okay.
Let's see. What was those new games? They've announced a bunch of games with it. A lot. And where was the one? Borderlands 4 was a big one. Sid Meier's Civilization 7. And then there was the... where's that
The one? Civilization game. I like the Civilization games, but... I think it's 5 on my original Switch. Kind of a hard game to play because it's the things that you have to look at are so small. It's not an easy game to play on the Switch.
Yeah, at the very end, there's a game that they announced. They didn't do it. Where is it here? No, it's not. There was a game that their surprise is coming to this. Bloodborne. Do you know the Bloodborne games, or heard of the Bloodborne games?
I'm somewhat familiar with it. I've never played them, but I'm somewhat familiar
with
it.
So it's usually just a PlayStation exclusive. Well, Nintendo is getting their own version of a Bloodborne game by the makers, and a lot of people are really excited for that. Let's see. They said that there's going to be, for this, a GameCube online library. So we had the Nintendo SNES and N64. The Nintendo Switch 2 will be exclusive to have a GameCube online retro game type thing on there. But
I
only
see.
Go for Switch 2.
Yeah.
And you will be able to get this controller to use to play on there.
Interesting.
Let's see. The physical games, if you have a physical game like, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and you want to play the Switch 2 version of that, you will have to pay an upgrade fee, and it's online only. You will not be able to buy a disc, the little cartridge. So a lot of people that want to upgrade, they're not going to be able to. They have to do it online only.
Yeah, that's interesting. What are your thoughts?
I like the physical. Me, Ryan,
too.
You, some other closer friends, we like the physical version of games. I don't like how you have to do this, but I mean, Xbox has already done it with some of their Halo games. PlayStation has done it with some of their games. Where if you want the upgraded version, they just did one called Days Gone. If you want the upgraded version from the PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5, you have to buy it, and it's only downloadable only. You're not going to go to buy this.
So I've got mixed feelings on it. Like console downloads, I don't really care about. I want the physical game. But, you know, the Steam library or God, good old games, I have no problems downloading games because I know they're going to be around. Well, I don't know, but they should be around for a long time. And there's never been, I don't think they've ever taken a game off of their library that I'm aware of. But the console games kind of got an issue with downloadable games because they tend to make those go away.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
You want to be able to have a disc, put it in, play it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Down
PC,
you don't have,
no problems downloading a game, but right. Consoles, I'm leery of. I don't really care much for downloadable games on consoles.
So on here, on the trailer, they showed this Nintendo Switch Welcome Tour, and it had like the Joy-Con, and like you can interact with certain buttons to tell you about the game system.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people got mad that they were going to charge for it. It is only $10 US dollars. So It's not
but
that
it is
bad.
kind of weird that it's a tech demo basically, and they're charging for it. Usually you would think that a tech demo would come for free with the device.
Right. Next one, the tariffs. The pre-ordering for the Nintendo Switch got moved back to April 9th because of the tariffs that were put on. Now I did see that UK has already sold out. They've already put theirs in and they've already sold out in some game stores.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I got a feeling this thing may be kind of hard to get at first.
Yeah, we're going to wait. I'm going to wait until a special edition comes out that I kind of want.
Yeah.
I said that the last time, but my wife ended up getting me it. and so I didn't get the special edition.
That's what happened to me. My wife bought it for me also, the first Switch. The OLED Switch, I just happened to be walking in Walmart and I saw it and it was the only one there and I snagged it. But the first one that was bought for me.
Okay. With the Switch 2, they're upgrading the Nintendo 64. A name they're going to call Nintendo Classics instead of when it was named Nintendo Switch Online previously. They'll have a bunch of the 64 library, and they're going to be adding a new CRT filter to that. So if you want to play any of the N64 games or Nintendo, you can do a filter and make it look like a CRT TV on your big screen.
Probably scan lines or something like that.
Yeah, which I think is pretty cool that they added that on there, just if you want to look at it and see.
Yeah, some of the arcade 1-Up devices that I have that scan line feature, and it does. I like scan lines if they're done right, because it does make it look like a CRT instead of the LED screen.
All right. The next thing, the Nintendo Switch Online right now, if you don't have it, you want to try it out, is a free 7-day trial. Again, even if you've already did it once, which some places when they do it online, like Amazon or Hulu, stuff like that, if you've already done it once, they won't let you do it again. Some places will, but Nintendo Online has a free online. So if you want to get some stuff, you want to download some stuff, you want to try some stuff out, I would suggest go ahead and jump on there and try it out and see what you think of it. I mean, it is only $19.99 for a whole year. Most people spend that on one Burger King trip, a trip to Burger King or Starbucks.
The first tier is. They have that second tier, which is a little bit more expensive. A little bit more. But,
All right. I did see this. GameStop is giving up to $170 for a Switch, but it's for the OLED.
Oh.
And then for the basic, it's the version 1 or 2, it's $125, and the Switch Lite is $100.
Well, they can keep that money as far as I'm concerned. I don't give up my devices like that.
Not me neither. Well, I did get the upgraded version of the Switch.
Did you give up your device to get it?
I did give up the original one because there were too many problems with it, which I kind of regretted doing because that original one is apparently it was hackable.
Yeah.
So people were modding it, and then it at one time it was selling for like $600-$700 bucks for the mod, but then it dropped back down to the regular.
Very rarely do I give up anything that I have bought. Usually if I bought something, the reason why I bought it is because I wanted it, and I just very rarely give something like that up.
My original Xbox I gave to a kid who his house got it was my wife's friend. Their house got broken into.
Yeah.
And they stole all his gaming stuff and all his games that and the sucks. Games. And I had an original Xbox, wasn't playing really anything because I had an Xbox 360, which I can play that. So I gave him the Xbox and a couple of the games I had that I wasn't going to play no more.
Well, that was very nice of you, Gerald.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was like 7 or 8 years old. And he was just depressed because they stole. That's all they went in there. They went in there, got his Xbox and their dad's TV and stuff like that. So that was nice. That was my nice thing for somebody. All right. Did you see anything on the Nintendo Switch thing that you wanted to talk about or see that I've skipped over?
No, basically that, you know, whenever one is available that I can grab, then I will get it for sure. Like I said, I don't know if I'll have it day one. I won't scalp it. Mm-hmm. If I can get it without, you know, buying from a scalper, of course, I'll get one day one. But I got a feeling it's going to be kind of difficult to get, just like the other one was when it first came out.
The release date is June 5th. I think I did not say that. June 5th worldwide. So maybe if you do get it day one, let me know. We'll probably, after you play with it for a little bit, we have you on here and let us know your thoughts. Because if we don't have one,
sure.
Ryan might end up getting one day one. He says a lot of times he doesn't get it, but sometimes he does.
Yeah.
But we'll get we'll have you on and
sounds like a plan.
Oh, the Dusk Bloods is the game I was talking about. They're that's supposed to be from Bloodborne.
Bloods.
All right, that's all I had for today, unless you wanna say anything else.
No, I think I'm good.
All right, thanks for joining us today.
Inviting me on.
As usual, to support us, head over to patreon.com/GameStitch. Contact me on our socials with your resume to replace Ryan at game_stitch at Ho Effin Show. That was episode 634. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Goodbye, everybody.